Well, good morning once again. If I happened to miss you earlier, my name is Wayne. I'm the pastor here at DCC. And as we've begun the year together, you know, we're talking about what it means to engage in a heart resolution. So you might be thinking about, you may have set goals for the year and you have those things in place, but many times we don't think about, you know, what is tugging at our heart and the things that really matter the most. And you should set goals. You probably should have an exercise routine. And those things are not bad. They're great things to pursue. And so as your pastor, I want to lead you in these efforts. And so today we're going to finish this conversation that we've been engaging in just to think about how we follow God this year. But just a real quick aside, as we talk about Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, and many of us here, you're born overseas and not from the country. Well, why is it we celebrate this weekend? And so we celebrate the life of Martin Luther King Jr. and a civil rights leader who had a profound impact on our country and this moral voice that led us to change many years ago. And so every year on this weekend, I take time and I read something that he wrote. Is called Letters from a Birmingham Prison. And while he was leading people to peacefully protest, he was arrested along with other of his followers. And so he writes this letter to pastors. So if you might see quotes on social media over the weekend of him. And so much of what it was his grounding is his he was a Christ follower in an incredible community that he was raised in that led him to be this incredible leader. And so many times we read the quotes, but if you ever want to read something from him, it's incredible. And so I always let him pastor me, and so that's something to read. It's long, so you need some time to read through it, but that's a great place to start if you're ever wondering. And so I just want to quickly say that out loud. I love to talk about that every single year. Well, today we're going to continue our conversation on resolution. And so it's a season of self-improvement, which is great. And we also become painfully aware of what we're not. You know, maybe you reflect and you think about, you know, your past year and what you wanted to do, and maybe you did that or you didn't do that. And so we, you know, become painfully aware, and that can be a driver to move us forward. But you know, it's ironically, it becomes a season of self-absorption as well, because we just kind of focus on what can I do to make myself a better person. And so, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And it's good to have a plan for those things. You and I, we've got one body to live in and one life. And so we want to take care of our bodies. Absolutely, that's a good thing. But we began in week one talking about how is your heart? And we looked at Nehemiah and how he was in a great place. He was set and he was serving a king. And he was the cupbearer, so he had access to the great wine. And so all these things, you know, he was in a good spot. But his heart was torn over a part of the world that was broken and that needed change. And he, and much like Martin Luther King, stepped into that and stepped in and began to step out of what was comfortable into what needed to be done. And so to live a purposeful life, an impactful life, always means that you have to step beyond yourself. And what tugs at your heart? So we began talking about how is your heart? Are you just self-absorbed? And then last week we looked how Jesus took that and talked about how he took it further and said, you know, this really means denying yourself. What is real life and real love is to deny yourself, and not only that, but to serve God and to pursue him. And so to find our life in Christ is the better option. Living for ourselves is ultimately meaningless. That's all you have to show for it. That's all you get. And Jesus called us to something greater, to himself. He showed us a better way. And while it seems like a downer in the moment you talk about this, but it's actually the better offer. Jesus was calling us to significance, to a life of purpose, and showing us how we were made for God and to pursue him. And that's what we've been proclaiming in song today, that you are our hope, my everything is in you, and may I abide in you. And as Christ followers, we declare that he is our all. So as we wrap this up, today I want to go back to Nehemiah And I love reading this book. It's found in our Old Testament scriptures. And you see how God was using this man in his story of redeeming his people. They had been disobedient and they had been incredibly reckless. And God allowed them to be conquered and be scattered. And he said that he would do it. It was a disciplinary action that would lead them back to God, as any loving parent would do. And so he was fulfilling those promises. And they had begun to rebuild the temple. And so Nehemiah was to come in and help rebuild the walls of their city. And so this is a historical account of a very specific time, and it's a picture of being faithful to God. It takes place during what we call the Jewish exile, and the Babylonians had invaded Judah, which was the southern kingdom at the time, and conquered Jerusalem, damaged the temple. They couldn't pursue their typical rituals of pursuing God. And so 70 years later, the Persians controlled that part of the world, and Cyrus the Great encouraged the Jews to return to Jerusalem to reinstitute their religion, their pursuit of God. And so there are 50,000 Jews that left Babylon to do just that. It's really interesting. But they met resistance. It was hard. People, you know, didn't want them, you know, reclaiming and all these things that were happening. And so things were not great for like 90 years. And so this is where we see Nehemiah step in. And as God always does, he uses a person to be part of this. He wants to use us. And that's his pursuit of us, even now. And so we read some of this. This was up here for just a second, but 2 weeks ago, we read these verses where Nehemiah was torn, and he heard of the state that everything was in, and it broke his heart, and he was weeping. And so he began to pray to God, and this is his prayer. This is found in Nehemiah 1:11. He says, "Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." Now, Nehemiah was preparing his heart to go to the king that he served, to step out in faith. And as I mentioned, he was a physician. And so this is his very next statement here. He says, "I was cupbearer to the king." And he had been in this position for a long time. And that's what he had a direct access to this king, and meaning that he was serving him wine. I mean, he had to make sure it was good wine, it was okay, that he wouldn't kill the king and all those crazy things, but that meant he had a great position. He was trusted. He'd been doing that a while. And so this was a good place to be. He was kind of set, but he was preparing to go beyond this. And so today, as we continue, we look at him as he takes this step of faith. It's really the question for us is what does it look like? What drives us to take these steps of faith? We encourage you here at DCC to take steps. We want to go out. As we help people find their way back to God, we want to go out into the city and love our neighbors. And when you were with us, we want to love well, to serve you as Christ loved us. And then we want to encourage you to take steps. And as we do that, we find life. We find that our life is in Christ, his truth. And so we take steps towards him. What gives us the strength to really do that? Well, let's look at what Nehemiah did. And so when he was writing in Nehemiah 1, he talked about the time of year. It was like November, December. And so the very next thing is it says it's in the spring. So he was like praying to God to have a chance to talk to this king, bring me favor. So he was waiting for months, and he's sitting on this news. So we pick this back up. Nehemiah 2, the very next verse says this. It says, "Early the following spring," so like around March, "in the month of Nisan," which is what that's referring to, "during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine," doing his role. And it says, "I had never before appeared sad in his presence." So this has been several months, and obviously the king knows him well, and so he can just tell. He's not, you know, we're sure that he wasn't trying to purposefully, like, what's going on? And so he's saying, like, you know, the king notices. He says, "So the king asked me, he goes, 'Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled.'" And I love this response because this thing, it's now his opportunity. So we know that he's been sitting on this for like 4 months. And so now's the time. He's been praying for this, and here is his opportunity. And so his very next phrase, I love this. He says, "Then I was terrified," which totally makes sense. Like, this is the moment. You ever, like, been preparing for a job interview? Or maybe you've like needed to engage in a hard conversation with somebody and suddenly like you're with them and it's like a moment of silence. You're like, I need to say something. And that like the adrenaline really kicks in. You know how you feel in those moments? You're like, I don't know if I can do this. You got to go in. If you're a musician and you've ever done an audition, like it's time for that moment or a performance and you've got to step into this. Like that was his immediate feeling there. When I was in college, I had a music degree. Just for those of you, that was a long time ago, but, not that long, but anyway. And I remember, like, performing. You had to learn how to do that. And we had to do it in front of our peers. And I remember watching someone one time just freak out, and they ran off stage. And at college, and I felt bad for the person, and they never came back. They were so, like, there's these moments where you're like, it's time to go. And, I think they just, that wasn't the degree for them. But it's wild how you feel that way. And we've all had a moment like that. So I love this. He's like, I was terrified. But he kept going. He says, but I replied, long live the king. That's a great first step. Like the honor the guy he's about to ask something. He says, how can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And the king asks, well, how can I help you? And I love this. He answers in such great faith. And then he like piles on. He's like, well, if I'm going to go for this, you got to go for it. It's time to put up or shut up. You know, all those types of moments. You know, when I've been with my kids, like we'll play music that talks about this going into like sports games. It's like, we're going to swing for the fences. And if we miss, we miss. We're just going to go. It's kind of pumping yourself. So this is what he does. He's like, if I'm going to go for it, I'm going to go for it. If God's in this, so this is what he does. So he continues. He says, with a prayer to the God of heaven. That's his foundation. So you're like, this is like a job interview. He just says a quick prayer, and then he's like, I replied, if it pleased the king, and if you were pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. It says, the king with the queen sitting beside him, asked, how long will you be gone? When will you return? It's a long time. He says, after I told him how long I'll be gone, it was a very long time. The king agreed to my request. That's great. But he wasn't done. It says, I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. What I love about this is he was ready. He had thought this through. He was ready for the moment. He needed that time to think about it and to pray, and God had allowed him that. Isn't that cool? Like, he knew what to ask for. And then he says, and please... He continues here. It says, and please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and a house for myself. That's pretty cool. Like, he really thought this through. It's like, if you're going to go for it, like, and a house. So what happens? It says, well, the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was upon me. And that led him to take this step. And God used him in an incredible way. And so the book of Nehemiah is the story of him, and we're not going to go into the whole story today, but of him getting that answer from the king and stepping into that. That was the easy part of what he just did. And to rebuild the walls. And they did it in an amazing short amount of time. And it was incredibly hard. And all these things went haywire. And he would just address the problems. It's a great leadership book. If you read Nehemiah, you see his leadership traits. And you can kind of study how he engaged problems. And so I love reading it because I'm always informed by it. But they rebuilt the wall and they celebrated against all kinds of odds. And it was part of God's plan. And God used him. And so this message today is not like, well, here's how you get a house. Because like, that's not what this is about. Like, this is about what led him to take that step of faith. And so what we see, I just want to point out a couple of things. Nehemiah was three things in this. Nehemiah was faithful in the small. He was faithful in the small. In our city culture here, we like the big. And so we like having a lot to show for it, and it's hard for us in that step. But Nehemiah was faithful in the small. He was consistent with it over time. You know, we read these accounts, and it feels like everything just happened right there. But even from when he heard the news of how his homeland was in ruins and how bad it was, and it broke his heart, just absolutely devastating. War-torn, everything. To being able to make that request, it was several months, and he was sitting in that, and he just continued to be faithful. But leading up to that moment, he had, you know, his whole people had been captured, and he was part of this, and he had been serving, and he had a job, he had a role, his whole life had been in that place. And maybe it felt meaningless at times, but God was doing something in him. He was consistent over time. And the third thing is this, is that he was surrendered to God. And this is a key part. That his foundation was that God was in control of his life. That he served him. His actual job was serving the king, but the king wasn't his God. And then even beyond that, himself, who he was. He wasn't just living for himself. If he was, he would never step out of that. I'm sure he got paid well. So he had better living circumstances than other people did. And so this is stepping beyond into something that was incredibly hard. Well, why would you ever do that? It's because he was obedient to God, and God was working in his life. So this is key. When we're faithful in the small and consistent, it leads us to these places. But the foundation of it all was that he was surrendered to God. It's not just about what I want. My life is about you. You, God, are God. What do you want? We sang today, these are crazy words. It's a narrow road, but I want to be on it. So I want to take you at your word, and I want to follow you. We would only say that out of a place of a surrendered life, where we've decided that God is who he is, and I believe in him, and he is mine, and so I'm going to pursue him. I'm no longer the one calling the shots. I know that he is the one that leads my life. So Nehemiah could have stayed. He was in comfort, but there was something greater for him to pursue, and this was the time. So what makes things different for us? To take steps of faith. Now, does this mean that in every single person that God's going to lead you to do some insane thing where you leave everything behind and go to a different country and step into a war-torn area and rebuild? No. That's not it. This is his story, God's pursuit of him. But what we do know is that God knows every one of us, and he is calling you to him. And it's easy to think, well, the small things in my life don't matter as much. But what we know is that's not true because of what Christ has done. And we can be faithful to him and know and trust that he's using it all. And that's freedom. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be anxious. Those were Jesus' words. He goes, why do you worry? He says, look at the birds of the air. Your Father knows them and he feeds them. How much more does he care about you? So don't worry about these things. Those who don't believe in God are freaking out and anxious about it. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is life. Yeah, our life isn't easy. He didn't promise it would be easy. But it doesn't have to make us anxious. So we can trust him. That's what we long for. And all of that comes from the place of surrender. And so the question this year, this month, today is where are you in your pursuit of Christ? Have you surrendered to him? The step to follow Christ, to get to that point, is an investigation. It's a pursuit. We shared last week a story, Kelly's story, how she began to ask questions, and she encouraged you to take steps towards him. You begin to sit and listen. You get to hear about who he is. And some of you are doing that now. I just encourage you to keep coming back and keep pursuing that, to hear who the words of Christ and what he said. And eventually, it led his followers to follow him. And to believe. They were like, you are the Son of God. If you read through the book of John, John states, he goes, these things are written to you so that you would know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that you can believe in him. That is your first pursuit and first question. But Jesus didn't walk up and be like, hey, what's up? And everybody's like, all right, we're in. Everything. It took time. There were experiences. We're not quite ready for this part yet. But yeah, there were times where they listened to him, they heard his word, and they saw him. They're like, you are the Son of God. And we get to the point of surrender to say, your truth leads to life. And then we serve. You give and you obey. Those are the things that come out of that. And we seek his truth because we know it leads to life. And as you follow Christ, he leads us toward this action. When you begin your pursuit, we all begin with this need. There's a need for us. We're like, we're looking to God to get something out of it. Like, what do I want? And you have thoughts. And so we think God exists just to help me. Now, he cares about you, and those things matter. But somewhere along the way is surrender. We realize it's not just about me. It's about him. And those things that I am longing for are really the desire for him. And so that's what you were invited into. And you see this in all of his followers. They talked about it. They're like, we were wanting this and this. And we eventually discovered that those were minor in comparison to him. And that's what Jesus talked about last week. It's the better offer. To lose your life, we gain purpose. And our local church, for those of you who are Christ followers, like you're at that point, your local church needs many of you to be that place where you say, he is my God, and here I am in this place, and we are going to love this city, and I'm going to love those that he's put in my life and be obedient to him in the place that he has me now. And so many of you are doing that today. And I just want to thank you, your faithfulness, as you do what Nehemiah has done, where you're faithful in the small and in the big, and you're consistent over time. We are here today loving this city in this way because of you and your obedience to him. And God is using that. You might say, well, I'm not doing much right now, or I don't feel like there's a lot of big happening. I want you to take joy in that there is great purpose in those things. To keep being faithful and to keep taking steps, because we serve a God who uses all of that. And so you might say, well, I don't know what that next step is. Great. That's pretty normal. And I would say, do what you know and do what is in front of you. But pursue God in that. Begin to bring him into that part of your life, and he will use that. So what do? You serve, you give, you take a step. Come to a class, become a member at DCC, serve on one of our teams, join us at the Sharing Place our monthly event when we do these things. That's a great place to start. And we take steps of faith towards him. One interesting thing as we look at Nehemiah is that we don't see how long that he was being faithful to God. His whole life. We like to think our life is about these big things, but so much of Nehemiah's life was in the unseen. And from his first word of the news to when he got to begin to take action on it, there was months. And don't you know that God was as active then as he was later? He was preparing his heart. He was doing things in him to prepare him to be the leader that he needed to be. for the challenges of the people that he was leading. He had thousands of people, and like they were hurting one another. They were doing crazy things, and he would have to step in and be like, "Why are you doing this?" And like, "Oh, we're sorry." And they would take, you know, he had all kinds of crazy problems. Like some of their kids were being sold into slavery. Like it was insane stuff that came up you would never expect. And he needed that strength to step into crazy problems in a messed up world and to lead them through it. And he didn't give up. And they celebrated a great victory. That God was doing a work in him. And we can trust him. And so to pursue him. So God had him there, and it led to this moment, and there was a formation in him. And that's what's so great. And if you've ever experienced God forming your life, when you begin to look back and see that, there's a great joy. And there's been so many times where I've looked back on times in my life where I'm like, I didn't like that, and I was asking God to stop this. And I look back and I say, I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad I grew. I'm better for it. Don't underestimate God's formation of you. So, we're faithful in the small, we're consistent over time, and we're surrendered to God. Have you surrendered to God? Maybe you're on that journey. What is your step? A step of faith, the real foundation comes from that. So let me ask you these questions here to end our time together. One is, who is Jesus, and do you believe in him? At DCC, this is one of our first question for you to come and to pursue. And we'd love to join you in that journey. And so you're invited into that. And however, whatever that looks like for you, we hope this is a safe place for you to come and to engage God. The second thing is, do you believe? Are you ready to surrender? Is that the step for you? The first step of obedience, of following Christ, is to be baptized. Yeah, you can put the second one up. Is to be baptized. We love to talk with you about that. Baptism is a great celebration, a picture of what Christ has done. But your first step is to believe and to follow him. And then for the third thing today, if you are a Christ follower here, what does it look like for you to be faithful this year? Is Christ Lord of your life? What does your weekly life look like? Is there time where you can engage him? How do you do that? We'll be in a dinner group where we talk about our lives and how we live out our Christian lives. Wherever you're at on this journey, that's a great place to start. But what does it look like for you to be surrendered to him? Talk about your time and your talent and your treasure. How can you take steps? And the other thing is, some people are like, well, I think I'm doing that great. Keep it up. Many of you are consistently serving and engaging and giving. And some of you are taking steps where you can. Some of you've got really tiny kids, or you've got an insane job with a crazy boss, and you're ready. You're like, there's all kinds of circumstances. And so whatever you can do, some of you are being consistent and faithful in how you can. I just want to encourage you and say thank you. Because we are here today as a church family because of this. And we are loving this city well because of that. And we pray that we can continue to take steps. And we've been able to do that this past year, and I'm so thankful for that. So many of you are doing this, and I just want to say thank you to you. One of the most impactful things you can do in your city is being a Christ follower, loving the city, being consistently here, and being part of a local church family. It's an incredibly impactful to love your neighbor and to love your God here in this city. So I just want to say thank you. And I can't wait to pursue this next year ahead to see what God is doing. Because we see him working. We see his story. So let's join him in that. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for today. Jesus, I thank you for these incredible examples and how you are faithful. Well, many times we don't feel like it or see you working. We know that we can trust you. And even when it seems dark, we look at what we do know, the truths about you that are there, And we say that you are our God in the good and in the bad, in the times that we're unsure. Even when we're unsure, we know that you rose from the grave, and that is the only hope that we need. I pray today for the many that are here, the burdens that they carry, the things that are hard. I pray that you would meet them, that they will be encouraged by pursuing you. May they find hope in you, no matter the circumstances. May we be a church family that is obedient this year. I pray that we would celebrate, that we would have fun, that we would love well as we pursue you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.